chapter 16. We are not going to finish this tonight, I can tell right now, but I could use some help as we look in 1 Samuel 16 to read some scriptures that would help us get along. But we're going to read quite a bit of scripture here together tonight, but I wonder if I can get some help from someone who could read 1 Samuel 8, verse 4 and verse 5. 1 Samuel 8, verse 4 and 5, and Bob's going to read that. Thank you. 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. And I think, Trenton, I saw your hand. Yep, thank you. Then Exodus, Ray, 6, verses 6 through 8. And then I thought I saw somebody else's hand back there. 1 Samuel 17, Zeke. All right. 1 Samuel 17, Zeke, if you would, verse 26 to 29. I'm confident we'll get that far. But let's take a look here in 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to read verses 1 to verse 13. And let's read that responsibly. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2. This is kind of what we want to focus in on tonight. We want to get a good idea of what's going on here in David's life. As we look at it, verse number 1 says this, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And he said peaceably, "I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this."
Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen thee."
And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now this is this sets up where we're going to go here in chapter 17. We're going to look there. But the Bible tells us that God wanted those who knew David, his family, that he had something special in mind for him. If he anointed him with the horn of oil, only two things that he could be doing. One was to be a priest, the other one was to be a king. And they knew David wasn't going to be a priest. And all the brethren, the Bible says, in the midst saw this happen. That's something important to remember when we look a little bit later in chapter 17, because God had a great plan for him. We want to look tonight at how David got to the valley of Elah. I know the Helmicks have been to Israel. Did you guys go there to the Valley of Elah? Not there? Okay. today, we did go there a few years ago when we Kim and I were there. And today it's a field that's planted with, you know, vegetables and whatnot. It's basically a field of planting and farm and whatnot. So it's wide, it's open. There's no, you know, official museum or anything like that there. You can walk out there and go up and down the hills. It's very interesting. Today, it's not a place of battle. I don't know if it was necessarily at that time, but the day came when it was. And we want to see what happened. How did David get there as we look at his journey here? And what was it that can be a help to us along the way? So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll look at how David got to the Valley of Elah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace to us, for your care for us, Lord. Thank you for the example of what we read about in the scriptures of these godly people. Now, Lord, help us to see what you want us to see, and maybe change that would honor you just as David had honored you in these areas of scripture. We pray, Father, you would guide us and direct us. Pray for those that can't be with us tonight, as mentioned, or not able because of illness or whatever. We pray for your help. And now, Lord, guide in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, verse number seven. Take a look. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, speaking of Eliab, the oldest son. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We want to see, first of all, as we consider this journey that David had and eventually made it to the Valley of Elah, David was called by God to go. He was called by God to go. God had him in mind. He knew who he was, of course, from eternity past, but Samuel had no idea. He was just doing the will of God. Now, interestingly enough, I think that Samuel, as he was looking at the sons, here's the oldest one. Man, he's good looking. He's strapping. He looks like he could take on the world. That must be the guy. Who was the king at the time, by the way? Saul. How tall was Saul according to the Bible in Israel? Anybody remember? He was head and shoulders. Yeah, so even Samuel kind of got this idea. I think personally that if he's got some physical stature, that's certainly necessary for the job. And God said, no, I'm looking on the heart. God chose the man after God's own heart. Israel wanted an imposing king like Saul. 1 Samuel 8, verse 4 and 5. Bob's going to read that for us. Okay. Israel was not happy. They never seemed to be happy with the judges anyway, although there was rest, the Bible talks about at various times. But here they were very unhappy. And so their reaction to Samuel's not so wise way of bringing his sons into the leadership roles there, they said, well, here's the answer. We're going to find a king. I want you to go get one. You know, they didn't say ask God. They said, go find us one. Go get us a king like the other nations have. And that often, again, meant someone who was very imposing, whether it's in a physical way or just their demeanor, etc. That's what they wanted. But God wanted somebody different. Again, we read in chapter 13, actually Trenton's going to read 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14, please.
And Samuel said to Saul,
okay, thank you. What kind of man did God want to lead his people? If God was going to use a man, which he did, he wanted a man after his own heart. And the word we're going to describe that here, surrendered. He was surrendered to God. God wanted a surrendered man. Whatever God said, he would do. Because one thing that Saul became increasingly known for is that he was going to do what Saul wanted to do. Even though some interesting things happened in Saul's life. And God did use him, but yet he became a leader who was not so submissive to God. And because of that, God said, you're not going to make it very long. In fact, this was only 2 or 3 years after he was anointed king. This was not very long after he became the king when he told him this in chapter 13. God chose the man after God's own heart. God sanctified David to accomplish the call. So God called him. Now he wanted to sanctify or set him apart. 1 Samuel 16, let's take a look again here in verse number 7. We read it earlier about how the Bible says it's not this brother, it's not this this son that's the one that God's chosen. Verse 7 again, the latter part of it says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Let's look at verse number 13. The Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. So how many of his brothers saw this? All of them. That's what we can presume from that verse. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Take a look at verse 18. Again, here's David. He was called upon to be a help to Saul at the time, which was interesting that he would help soothe the spirit of Saul. The Bible says in verse number 18, because of his musicianship, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. God sanctified David to accomplish the call. He was getting him familiar with some things as well, I believe, before he became king. Here's how things kind of work in the government, and here's how kings behave at times, but don't do what Saul did. He called him, however, to go. Let's go to chapter 17, 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Here's where we're going to read quite a bit, verse 1 through 28. And let's continue with this responsive reading. I'll read verse 1. If you'd read verse 2, we'll go back and forth. And let's read to, verse 28. That's where we want to go. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shechem, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shechem and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah.
And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul.
But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren.
And bury these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge.
Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army.
And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren.
And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. People answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.
And Goliath and his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. And Goliath's anger was kindled against David, and said, Why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down.
Okay, thank you very much. Here we want to see that David had a cause for God arise. He had a cause for God arise. Sometimes we can plan for a cause. You know, we set on the calendar, we're going to have this kind of ministry. We've got Easter coming up and the choir's getting ready and we're going to give the gospel and so forth. Or this kind of ministry, we're going to do this on a Saturday and go soul winning and visiting and whatever. We can plan for that. David did not plan for this. It came up. In fact, his plan was deliver the food, help the brothers, and maybe stick around, see what's going on, but then he was supposed to go home. But when he heard Goliath cry out, as he had been doing for how long? 40 days. Think about that. That's over a month long, every single day, and these guys, the Bible says, were scared out of their boots. And yet David heard it, and the first thing he wanted to do was, let me at him. David had a cause for God arise. Now think of Goliath again. There's some, you know, numbers about how tall and all that stuff. If a cubit was 18 inches, that means his height would be 9.75 feet tall. Think of the basketball hoop in a regular basketball court, 10 feet. He would just about hit it with his head if he stood under it. He wouldn't have to reach anywhere to grab the ball that people are trying to throw in there. That's how tall he was. If he was that tall, think of how wide he might have been. Yeah. Man, you know, this might be how where his shoulders were. I don't know. But he was an enormous individual. And then all the armor and the sword and the beams and that type of stuff, all extremely heavy. But your average man would never have been able to handle those, and yet the Bible gives us an indication of what kind of an imposing person this was. But when David heard him cry out and begin to make fun of God and try to embarrass the armies of God, it boiled him pretty good. He wanted to do something. He said, I'm going to try and do something. David proved his faith in God's promises. Let's take a look at these. First of all, a promise that God made to Israel was this, that he would deliver them if they turned to him. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 talks about that for us. Trenton, I think, no, Ray's got that. Okay.
I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord.
Okay, thank you. So this was many years before David, of course. This was back when the Israelites were still in Egypt. They were Hebrews, not Israelites at the time. They were Hebrews and in the court of Egypt and so forth. But God said, if you follow me, I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you if you turn to me. And there's other passages in Deuteronomy and all through scriptures that claim that God's deliverance is available if they followed him. God would deliver Israel. David knew that. Every soldier knew that. But let me ask you this, as we read chapter 17, how many times does it say that Saul or any of the soldiers called on God for help? How many times did you see? I'll tell you how many I saw. Zero. Not once. God would deliver Israel if they turned to the Lord. God. Here's another thing that David had a faith in, the promise of, would deliver David for the work he was called to do. What was he called to do back in Bethlehem there when he was out tending the sheep, and then he was called back home, and Samuel said, hey, God's got something big for you. What was he called to do eventually? To be king. Yeah, God's going to fulfill that, and he had faith and trust in that. Let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We often, and we shared this the other day, and at funerals we do, but you know what? It's also for the living. And it truly is a psalm of trust in God. Psalm 23. Very quickly here, we'll look at this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David had a faith and a belief that God would fulfill any promise he was going to make, and he made one specifically to David, too. David's motive was to defend God's honor. Let's take a look at this in chapter 17, and look at verse 26 with me, please. I'll read that for us, verse 26 through 29. Here's what it says. We're in 1 Samuel 17. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David's motive was to defend the honor of God. Let's very quickly see if we can finish up the next couple thoughts here. David's cause, however, was challenged. And the one who challenged him first is right here in verse 28. Who was it that challenged him? Eliab, his brother. By the way, when Samuel was there anointing David and said, You're the future king. God's chosen you. Who else was there? Eliab was there. You know, it's hard to see this, how Eliab didn't get this, that God may be using David in such a way. We don't know exactly, of course, but he certainly did not think that was the right thing for David to try that. Also, verse 31, let's go there. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David sent to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." The next person who challenged him was Saul, but he questioned God's ability not just to help David win, he questioned God's ability to help anybody to win. He wasn't sending anybody out there. He said, no, this guy is too much. He's going to destroy us. And I'm not sure what his plan was, but right then and there, he didn't have one other than we're not going to fight him. Let's take a look in Psalms chapter 103, and then we'll finish here tonight. Psalms 103, and let's all read these verses together. Verses 1 through 5, we're in Psalms 103. Would you read these with me? We'll read them out loud together, please. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." What did those men forget? They forgot about the God of Israel. Eliab and Saul and many others that day, it seems, those challengers forgot about the God of Israel. Next week, Lord willing, we'll finish this up. David was called. He had a cause. What was the next step in his walk here? Let's go ahead and pray. We'll find that out next week, but find a partner and pray for these folks tonight. They need your prayers.